Welcome, listeners, to the Thundercast. I'm here, Connor Sanders, sports editor for SU News, along with my two companions.
I'm the boss, Hayden Coombs.
Apparently, I'm the cap, Kurt Meekum.
Yeah, can't be last name Sanders and not be the colonel. It's an unwritten law, just like how every Big Sky team has to start a white shooting guard that only shoots threes.
Mm-hmm. Can we get a sponsor from KFC for that?
We'll work on it. Coming to you from the local Cedar City KFC/A&W.
Nothing like eating some Kentucky Fried
it's
Chicken.
It's Papa Burger Thursdays.
I like it.
So let's talk. I mean, the trade deadline is, 45 minutes away at the time of recording. Mirotić just went to the Bucks.
Pretty Avery interesting. Bradley over to the Grizzlies. He's one of my personal favorites.
And then they ship out Mark Gasol to Toronto. I mean, big deal. And Conley, as of right now, is still there. So
maybe the Jazz can just put in some, like, a first-rounder, and that's it, and get him.
You know, the good thing is that the Grizzlies now have DeLon Wright, so Dante is a little less needed there.
Yeah. Also, the Jazz like Dante Exum way more than any other team in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, true. They value him way more. The thing about that I think is so fun about the DeLon Wright-Dante Exum comparison is Dante Exum, even though he's been in the league forever, he's somehow like 10 years younger than DeLon Wright. But DeLon Wright's body is somehow 10 years younger than Dante Exum's. It's kind of crazy how that works.
Right now, I think my grandpa's four is.
That's great. All right, well, let's just jump right into the SU stuff. I think the Super Bowl wasn't really that interesting. Mm-mm. It's been talked about in...
Pats won. Congrats.
Yeah. I hate Bill Belichick. Anyway, big game. The game of the year, I'd say, so far. SU takes on the hated Weber State Wildcats. Big Thunder has been on his jam, for sure, on Twitter, the last 48 hours.
Yeah, he's been pretty excited.
He tagged Woj in his in a lot of his trash talk. So we'll see how that goes tonight.
Hopefully we get some guests from KSL today, too.
Is it free body paint night? Is that what I've heard?
Yeah, I actually am personally funding just buying a bucket's load of body paint for SCU students. My wife doesn't know this, but yeah, it's going to happen.
It's a really smart investment because we can just use the extra for Big Thunder.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I found this kind of cheap one on Amazon.
Buy in bulk.
I don't know if like it leaves like rashes or if it ever rubs off, if it'll ever wash off. But I got like 32 ounces for like $1.78. So why the heck not?
Yeah. So I was at practice yesterday. Got to talk to some of the transfers for an upcoming edition of the University Journal, which you'll have to look out for. But talking to Coach Simon, he said his keys to the game were stopping the Wildcats in transition and starting quickly for the Thunderbirds. You don't know what you're going to get in the first half. You could get something really good, or you could get a really slow, like frustratingly slow start. Mm-hmm. But Weber State, they love to get out and run. We also like to get out and run. So stopping them in transition is going to be a huge key.
Yeah. Putting the brakes on that backcourt of Jarrett Harding and Cody Johns, they average almost 40 points a game together. They're probably the most impressive backcourt in the Big Sky. Either of those guys can score at will. So they're both upperclassmen. They've both been through this before. So it'll be interesting. We're going to have our hands full, but they did it before, and that was right after losing Dwayne and Jason Richardson. Yep. So we've been playing really well since then, so I think we can do it again.
Yeah, the one thing that's tough with Weber is their spacing is so good. Mm-hmm. Bricott Chapman playing the four, but able to shoot threes the way that he does. I think he's like he's second or third on the team, mm-hmm, with 3-point percentage, and that spacing is really tough. And they always seem to have a big guy who just rebounds like crazy. He's always
like
so strong.
Zach Braxton has been there for 30 years.
Yeah,
I swear seriously. He's been in school since I was in school. That dude's just always hanging around the Big Sky. And he's so good.
Yeah, he's one of the best roll men in the Big Sky, for sure. The way he attacks the basket differently than everybody else in the Big Sky.
Well, what was so impressive about SU's win in Ogden against Weber was the way Andre Adams played against Zach Braxton.
Yeah.
In my time here at SU, I have never seen a player man up Zach Braxton like Andre did. I've never seen someone out-muscle him and just take him to the paint all night. So Andre being able to establish that dominance in the paint early, I think, will be huge.
And stay out of foul trouble, because that's been
the
last few games he has not been able to stay on the court. So it's important to avoid foul trouble as well. And we don't have another big guy to rotate in. I mean, Medunic can try and take some minutes from Braxton, but I think that it'll be a one-to-one substitution.
Oh, yeah.
When Braxton comes on, Adams will be on, and when he comes off, Adams will take a break.
And the fact that Andre is kind of on a roll from his last game with 23 points, 14 rebounds, and shooting really perfect well. from the floor, I'm sure Coach Simon is like, yeah, we need this guy on the floor. He's in the flow of the system now. He's going to be the key for SU to just get rebounds and be able to run their style of offense.
Yeah, absolutely. So interesting notes about Weber. Since that big win in Ogden, they're 5-2. They're 8-3 overall in conference play. They've been on a tear. I think that the loss to SUU in Ogden was like a big wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
And they've responded really well. So Harding is averaging 22 a game, Cody Johns 14, Chapman 12.8, and Braxton 10.8. That's four starters in double digits. It's a pretty rare occurrence for the Big Sky. On our side, however, Brandon Better, Cam, and Andre Adams are all averaging 13 points a game, which is really interesting how the offense has developed into like a pretty three-pronged attack.
Yeah.
You know, because at the start of the season, Jacob Calloway was one of our better scorers, and over the last four games, he's averaging 4.25 points a game. He's not seeing as many minutes, so we've seen Harrison Butler and Mason Fawcett step up and take most of the Calloway minutes, so it's going to be really interesting to see how Calloway plays, because he played really well in that game at Weber.
And I imagine he'll probably maintain his starting role as of at least now, because Coach seems like he has a pretty solid rotation established. But it is nice having guys like Harrison coming off the bench, because Calloway's on this team to do one thing, and that's to hit threes and to open up the spacing and everything on the court. And if he's not doing that, you can take him out. And Jacob's had games where he's come in and he's hit big shots. He's gotten us started. Like you said, he played great against Weber. But he's also had games that he went 0-for-9 in the first half, right?
Yeah.
And so being able to just kind of seamlessly throw in one of those impressive freshmen that you mentioned has been huge for this team so far. And it could have a huge impact on the game tonight.
Yeah. And Chapman killed us last game.
Oh my gosh.
And we need to have versatile defenders out there. And Calloway is as versatile a defender as we have. Him and Harrison Butler can really stay with wings and also handle themselves in the post. So it'd be interesting to see how they game plan to slow him down.
Yeah, that's going to be big. I think when Jacob is on the floor, that's really going to open up the offense a lot too, because it will take presumably Chapman out of the key, and he's athletic.
Yeah, he does a lot of the things for Weber that Dwayne Morgan was doing for us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and so to take him out of the paint or try to stretch him to other parts of the floor, because you have to guard Jacob from basically NBA range.
Yeah.
And so to have him out, that's really going to open it up for Dre Marine to get in and get layups or do a dump-off pass to Andre, pass out to Cam. So Jacob could be a really big part of this game.
Yeah, and that big three of Cameron Olueton and Andre Adams and Brandon Better has been on a tear lately.
Mm-hmm.
Better had a really weird game on Monday against Idaho. He's 1-for-9. But over his last however many games, I think it was last four, I wrote about it on the website that he's just been on an unholy tear. Like, getting to the basket, hitting open threes, hitting off the dribble, coming around screens. Like, he's been a huge revelation. But another interesting thing is that usually have Dre Marine guard the primary ball handler, or the better of the two guards, and then Better is able to kind of hide and just guard whoever's the shooter. But this game, that's not going to be the option, because Cody Johns and Harding can
both
score.
Both of them very talented.
At a high rate. So be interesting to see how they defend and how much Harrison Butler plays in the backcourt, how much we see Kenton Eskridge or Dotto, who are also good defenders. So we'll see how that develops.
Dre has, in his time here at SU, he has defended Jarrett Harding very admirably.
Yeah.
He always is going to get matched up against the other team's best ball handler, their best scorer, right? And he totally shut down, what's his name from Portland State?
Holland Woods.
Holland Woods, when he came here. I remember last year when Weber State came here, Dre played amazing against Jarrett Harding, had him in foul trouble, really put us in a position to stay in that game and to potentially win the game. Then at the end of the game, when everyone's saying, wow, Dre just killed it tonight, he did so good, you look at the box score and Holland Woods still had 23 points. this kid is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, Dre will have his hands full, and it's really about slowing him down, right? We slow Holland Woods down, we slow their entire offense down. They, like Kurt said, Weber State has amazing spacing, they have amazing ball movement, but when Holland is not on, or when Jarrett Harding's not on, they stagnate a lot on offense. They do a lot of that dish down to the post, pass back up, dish down to the post, pass back up, and it just slows down.
Jackie Moon.
Yeah, exactly. The recent trend in the NBA, too. But it'll be interesting. I think we got it.
Yeah, you're not going to stop Jarrett Harding. If we hold him under his scoring average, we probably win the game because he's that prolific. He's going to be one of those like G League guys that just plays out of his mind and ends up with an NBA team.
Yeah. Sure. He's the most impressive talent I've seen in the Big Sky, in my opinion, since I've been here. And that includes guys that have come through like Singlin, Ballenboy, Jacob Harvey. Like,
there's kid from Eastern Washington last year.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great great guys come through the Big Sky, but I think Jarek is probably the best talent I've seen in the, you know, since 2014.
Yeah. So this weekend also they take on Idaho State, who pretty messily destroyed SUU up in Idaho. They lost by 20. That was also the second game of conference play, so SUU is kind of still getting their feelers together. But this
they just lost Jason Richardson and Dwayne Morgan.
Yeah. Then now they're the third worst team in the Big Sky. We need to win this game.
Yeah, for sure. There's no excuse. No excuse to lose to them.
Yeah, in Cedar City, we're going to have what has become our team. Like, we have to move on from the injuries that have happened and just start playing well. So an interesting thing that I've noticed is SU hasn't finished above 500 since the 2006-2007 season. And the only other time was the 2000-2001 season in the last 20 years. So right now, I think we're right at 500.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can just make it above 500, that's a huge step in this in this 4 or 5 year rebuilding process that Coach Simon's putting together.
Yeah, I mean, you take a team that won 6 games the year before, you win 6 games in a new system, you double that from last year, and then this year, if you can get above 500, Coach Simon's got a special thing going.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is something we've talked about on this podcast before, the rebuilding job that Coach Simon has done, but I mean, it can't be stressed enough. He was left with the cupboard completely bare. I mean, he had Randy Onwasser, who was second in the NCAA in scoring, but he knew coming into that season that Randy was a one-year rental, right? And so it's like, we can use Randy to win games, but we also want to develop the young talent. Plus, he's getting his own guys in. There's kind of an exodus of talent as he comes in to turn this team around in just, what, 3 short years like he has? It's crazy at this, like, low to mid-major level. It just doesn't happen that fast.
Where it's super hard to get, like, any, as the rest of the nation would put it, decent recruits. I mean, we have very, very decent guys playing. But at a place like SU that's never been known for sports, really, it's hard to get guys that come in and turn a program around in 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, and it's completely come from outside because recruiting hasn't really been that special. We've got a few decent players, but it's all come from transfers and picking out guys that were in a bad situation that just needed a change of scenery. So it's been huge. It's been really impressive, and it needs to continue tonight. And a win against Weber tonight, sweeping Weber, is like, we're here to stay.
I think I saw it would be the first time since 2014 that we did that. So, I mean, there is a lot on the line just with the 2 games this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of big games this week, our women's hoops team is at Weber and at Idaho State. So it's actually kind of interesting how the roles are flip-flopped in the women's game. Weber State is the worst team in the Big Sky as of right now, according to the record. And then Idaho State is, I think, the second best or the best. So it'll be an interesting weekend for the ladies who will be on the road against a team that they should beat and a team that they probably will have to play their best game to even come close with.
Yeah, in fact, our women are actually playing right now as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
It was a day game up in Ogden, second quarter, up by 6 points. Weaver's a team we should beat. We should pretty much always beat. As you were nice and political about it, but no, they are the worst team in the Big Sky. They're not great. And, you know, I say that full well knowing that we've been the worst team in the Big Sky the last few years.
Yeah.
But Weber's a team that's absolutely beatable for Southern Utah women. And like you said, Idaho State is a team that they have to play their very best game to be competitive. Which, I mean, they played them admirably last time, but also playing in Pocatello, it'll be an interesting game to watch.
Yeah. So SU is 4 wins away from reaching their win total from the last 2 years. So they won 3 games last year, and they won 6 or 7 the year before. Mm-hmm. So we're at 6 wins right now. By the time this podcast goes up, we'll probably have beaten Weber, I hope. So that means that we'll be in a really good position. Is there big news?
Woj just sent out a tweet saying the Clippers are trading Mike Muscala to the Lakers, so staying in L.A., at mm-hmm. least. They're nice. For Michael Beasley and Ivica Zubac.
Wow.
So
that means the AD thing is done.
I don't think it ever started.
Yeah, it's been done for a while.
But yeah. I think that Beasley just may have been causing it a little bit more ruckus than what did they was think? Reported.
Trying to fight his coach. So
they signed Michael Beasley in the summer, and they were like, he's going to be fine.
What did right. they yeah, think was no, happen? No. Anyways, though.
Okay. Well, big news. Always Michael Beasley news is my favorite kind of news.
I'll never forget just cursing at the Bulls for taking Derrick Rose instead of Mike Beasley. I knew Mike Beasley was going to be the next big thing. Granted, I only got to watch the first, like, 5 games of that season because I went on my mission. But when I left, when I entered the MTC, Mike Beasley was averaging 30 and 22. And anytime you can pick up a 30 and 22 guy, you got to do it, right?
Even if it's at Kansas State.
Yeah, right. I just remember my brother writing to me, being like, no, dude, we want Derrick Rose. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, and now we see where they both are.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Bulls, I mean, just a quick tangent. They somehow got out of the Jabari contract.
Hey, and Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah,
that was Chicago move.
The leadership council pulled a fast one.
Oh, man.
You know, yeah, it's...
The one thing I find funny about that whole thing is last year that Bobby Portis and Nicola were having this beef, and they traded Nicola so they could develop Bobby. And well, Bobby's now gone.
It wasn't no beef. It was a straight beat down.
He punched him.
He almost killed him.
Yeah.
The one hit acquitta, man. Let me tell you.
And now the Kings have traded Scal Labissiere to the Blazers for Caleb Swanigan.
Ooh, I love Swanigan. Big fan of his days in Purdue, man. I love everything about a 6'8", 280-pound center. There's nothing I don't like about
that. You're a big Chuck Hayes fan.
Why does that sound like Zion?
He was only like 6'5".
Is it me or is Hayden trying to make a reference to Zion here?
Hey, Caleb Swanigan is no Zion Williamson.
Really, I mean, it's a bad tanking trade for the Bulls. Otto Porter is too good.
No, yeah. It's a building trade, right?
What do you mean?
I don't know why the Bulls like necessarily did that, but I'm happy they did. Yeah. But it's certainly not a tanking trade.
Well, his contract will be up by the time they're good, so...
Yeah.
They're not going to be good for another 3 years, so...
No.
I mean, you have to pay somebody, right?
They at least need a decent point guard, so... They still don't have that.
Bring campaign back, my guy. All right, moving on. This week, we also had National Signing Day. So SU added 29 future T-Birds. I don't remember how many...
I think that number got increased to 30, because they had one more guy after they published their... Okay. Recap.
So however many there are, I think there's like 14 or 15 that are going on their missions. So, but that also means we have Utah. A bunch of guys coming back from their missions, which I would love to talk to Coach Warren about that, having to recruit around that or with that in consideration. But we got some big guys coming in. I highlighted some positions of interest more than players of interest. Like,
right.
So we have a bunch of linebackers graduating, Chinedu Ahanonu and Taylor Nelson. So Drew Carter, who's a linebacker out of Camarillo, California. And then a guy I think is going to be really good, who plays D-line too, but he can also play outside linebacker, Remedy Akoteu out of Alta High School. And also Billy Davis out of Las Vegas. So three big linebacker signings. There are more linebackers that will be going on their missions.
A lot more.
But these will probably be the guys that will come in and make an immediate impact.
Oh, yeah. I see Remedy. I'm going to say that because I don't think I could pronounce his last name right consistently. But I do see him as more of like a DeMarcus Ware type player that he was for the Cowboys in his prime, where you can play the outside linebacker, you can play on the defensive line. And, I mean, according to 24/7 Sports, this is one of the best guys that SUU has signed in the last few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's always interesting to see which players are going to make an immediate impact here at SUU, but it just can't go – I can't say enough about the impact that TNL and Nadu made during their time here. Like, we're not only losing great players, but we are losing facilitators of that great winning culture, guys who came, worked hard every single day, guys that you really can't replace. They're invaluable to a school like SUU.
Nadu was like – Dubtown represent, first off. He's also from Westwood. But also, Nady was he was like the leading tackler in the Big Sky
this season. As a freshman, before his mission.
Yeah.
And then when he came home, like...
Yeah, and it's more than the establishment of culture, too. Like,
yeah,
they were our playmakers. They were our best players on defense, and they both graduated at the same time. And Taylor Nelson was here like 8 years.
Yeah.
He was a leader here.
He's been here a long time.
For a long time. So, it's going to be interesting. And, I mean, that's a huge position for us. That was... Our D-line wasn't very good last year, and our defense was as bad as it was, but it would have been worse had we not had such capable linebackers.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad, because, I mean, that really isn't saying much with where our defense ranked.
The second worst defense in the whole country.
Well, we would have been the worst without them.
Absolutely.
True.
And we also had some DBs. One interesting guy is Khalid Taylor, who's coming from a JUCO in California. I think he's going to be really good. I think he might start at the cornerback position that Taylen Webb is leaving
behind. Well, we need him to.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of promise. We have a lot of athleticism. We even have a lot of size with our DBs. But none of them really gave us consistent production last season. So it's not a hope. Like, we absolutely need him to come in and be either pushing Jalen Russell for that number one spot or to slide into that number two spot for us to be competitive next year.
And the one thing I like about him being a JUCO product is he knows how to work hard. Because, I mean, we've all seen Last Chance U. Like, those guys work their butts off to just to get a scholarship for sports. And, I mean, it worked out so well last year for Utah State. They signed a kid who was on Last Chance U, and I think he's got invited to the combine now. It was a bowl game MVP, and I think that a lot of teams are trying to find these JUCO players a lot more, just because they are able to see just how hard they work. And honestly, it says something when you're signing a guy who's 20 or 21 compared to a 17 or 18 year old kid who has to come in and learn from scratch how a college team works.
Yeah. Well, our coaching staff has had amazing success with junior college defensive backs. I mean, our three defensive backs that have had opportunities to play football professionally were all junior college guys.
Yeah.
So there's that high expectation for Khalid Taylor coming in for that reason alone.
Yeah, and like you say, there's just a different perspective, and there's a sense of urgency. Like, there's no time for them to develop. Like, they know that they need to come in and perform because their career is going to be up soon. So I think he'll be really good. Jet Richens of Stansbury High School. I don't know if he's going on his mission.
I'm not too sure, but, I mean, for whenever he does play, it's really exciting. He led 6, 5, and 4A combined in, I think it was tackles.
Also, his name is Jet, and I really want him to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Just because his name is Jet.
I want him to be fast, yeah.
Jet Richardson is such a gamble of a name. What if that kid is like an offensive lineman?
Well, that's the thing. I kind of want him to be super slow. I want him to be a left tackle.
You know how they do the NFL, like on Sunday night count, or the Sunday night game, they have the players like say what university they went through?
Yeah.
And like, Terrell Suggs always says ball so hard, university.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine Jet Richardson being like, Jet Richards, left tackle. All right.
Oh, man.
Another big DB signing is Cervantes White out of Nevada from Las Vegas. He'll be another key contributor. And you think about Talen Webb, Elijah Holt. They were both important parts of our defense last season, mm-hmm. and we need to replace them. And our pass defense was bad. Like, bad, bad.
Bad,
really,
bad.
Really, really bad. Bad, bad, bad.
And they can come in and help to kick things around because, I mean, as bad as we were, we're still losing two spots, you know. So hopefully these guys can come in and bring a brand new energy and, you know, really buy into what Coach Warren is preaching at,
oh, yeah.
at practice and things. So
one guy who we haven't mentioned, I think there's a little bit of a backstory here, is a local kid from Cedar High School, Drake Fakahua. He's a running back linebacker. He's just a preferred walk-on, so he's not even a scholarship guy. But I'm really interested to see not only how he develops and turns out, but SU was really hot on his older brother a few years ago, Mason Fakahua. He was a quarterback at Cedar High, and he really, really, really wanted to play quarterback at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like he was coming here for a while because most of the – I mean, he was a high – caliber athlete. We had a lot of big schools looking at him, but we were the one school that was like, yeah, come here, you can play quarterback. Last second, Ed Lamb moves up to BYU, and suddenly that BYU offer comes saying, all right, Mason,
thanks a lot, Ed,
go ahead and be a quarterback here. Now, we all know that BYU always carries about two dozen quarterbacks. That being said, like Joe Critchlow, who got a lot of playing time, not this year, but the year before at BYU, he was an SEU guy.
Critchlow, come back, baby.
Come back. So it's I wonder if Mason Fakahua, when he gets home from his mission, if he doesn't get that chance at quarterback like he promised, if he would look to come back down here. Granted, if he did come back down here,
he's not playing
we're doing
QB.
The same thing. We're yeah. moving him to linebacker.
He's not playing QB.
He is a big kid.
Because Helbig and Skidmore are kind of really good.
And so, but I wonder if there's a little bit of writing on the wall there. Hey, your brother will be here. Maybe
you come down here, maybe we'll give him a scholarship.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I mean, that being said, Drake's still planning on serving a mission as well. But, once again, like you said, things that Demo has to worry about 4 years down the line, you know?
Yeah, it's such a long play when you're at, not only at a small university, but a small university in Utah.
And, I mean, kudos to all the recruiters and coaches in Utah that, like, recruit in-state and know that that is an option.
Because yeah.
most recruiting, you're planning 4 years with these Utah kids who decide to serve missions. I mean, you're planning for 7 years and your contract does not go for 7 years.
Yeah, for sure. And Demo has the potential to hop somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
right? So he's got foresight and commitment to the program and finding these guys that he knows won't be here right away, right? Because it could be so tempting to be like, forget all the freshmen, I'm going just JUCO, we're trying to win the Big Sky this year and I'm gonna see if I can make it to the back door or something. But that's not his mindset. It's really admirable that he's so committed to the program and that the athletic department is, mm-hmm. is supporting him in such a way. So,
another quick bit of breaking news from the NBA. The Grizzlies have announced that they will be keeping Mike Conley Jr.
Boy.
At least until the draft. Idea there that stronger offers and more draft picks will be offered closer to the NBA draft.
That's smart.
And it's being reported as well that the Zubac Mike Beasley for Mike Muscala trade is centered around adding Carmelo Anthony.
Ooh.
And the Clippers are also planning to waive Beasley.
Yeah.
So basically he's going back to China.
Yeah.
Jazz, absolutely. Pick him up.
Oh,
I love,
no.
I
oh my
love
gosh.
Mike Beasley.
Do you think Gail Miller would actually do that?
Why
that's
not?
Just too much crazy on one roster.
No, the Jazz can totally take him out of crazy.
Joe Ingles and
I'm in LA.
LA, yeah. For sure. I love Mike Beasley, man. He just comes in and gets a couple buckets. The Jazz would love to have somebody like
sometimes
that.
Sometimes he doesn't wear the right pants. Sometimes he doesn't wear a shirt underneath
sometimes his... Sometimes he doesn't wear pants.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get with him.
Sometimes he forgets what the NBA allows.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There's no reason that guy shouldn't be, like, an 8-time All-Star right now. Other than the fact that he just smoked himself stupid.
Dude, I remember...
Let's just be honest.
Yeah,
it was like
a
3-month span last season where he was just lighting it up for the Knicks. And I was like, what happened to that
Didn't
guy?
Didn't he also foul out in, like, 8 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, it was, like, in the third quarter of a game. Like, he just came in and immediately fouled out. Oh, my god.
Pulled a Dotto is what he did.
So much disrespect. Dotto, don't listen to him. You're the Zaza Pachulia of our generation.
There's no disrespect there. I'm just saying. Every team needs a little bit of crazy. I want a guy on my bench that's willing to come in and headbutt another dude. Yeah. I want that.
I love watching Dotto practice because he practices so hard.
Yeah.
I love how hard everybody works. And it's, man, we can talk about basketball all day. I could talk about SU basketball for hours. But let's talk about the rest of the sports that are beginning this weekend.
Also, real quick,
let's talk about that. Orlando is trading for Markelle Fultz per Adrian Wojnarowski.
Well,
man, I've been wanting the Magic to pick up a point guard for so long. Maybe Fultz is the guy.
But you didn't want Orlando to trade for one with one arm. That's
listen, he's not hurt. He just needs a change of scenery.
Mentally hurt. Yeah. But which can be even worse, but I think Markelle Fultz is a really, really nice kid. I want nothing but the best for him.
It's true.
And I mean, in college, he really was a fantastic player.
Yeah, there's a reason why it was like that draft. Like, he was in a league of his own.
Yeah. It was like tier one Markelle Fultz, tier two everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he could definitely make it still. I would love to see him the next time the Magic and the Sixers play, just put up like 60 points on Ben Simmons. That'd be amazing.
Please do.
All on the pick and roll dunks because he can't do anything else.
He shoots 2 threes in one game instead of one.
Whoa!
And doubles Ben Simmons' output for the season.
The one thing that will be fun to see is who this trade is for, because Elton Brand has been doing a great job just with trades right now. And if he gets a good
Jonathan Simmons, Thunder's first round, and a Cavs second round.
What?
For Fultz.
The Thunder's first round pick.
Thunder first, Cavs second, and Jonathan Simmons.
So basically the 25th pick or so, and a high second round pick, so maybe two.
Man,
Jonathan Simmons.
How do they keep getting picks?
Wow.
Dude, I would offer Jonathan Simmons straight up.
Assets, baby. Assets.
When did Danny Ainge work for Philly?
Elton Brand, baby, because he is Duke University educated.
Get out.
Just saying.
When Danny Ainge went to BYU, which is where my dad went.
Hayden, the first thing I'm doing as an investigative reporter when I leave here is I'm investigating Duke for paper classes.
There ain't no such thing as paper classes at Duke University.
Yeah. Come on now. They're solid stone.
That's right.
Or underwater basket weaving.
I'm using chiseling. Elton Brand, a little bit of a trivia about him. He was Coach K's first underclassman to ever leave.
Congrats, Elton. You started a new trend.
Now
Zion Williamson is going to be the first one to actually have a successful career.
Hey.
Are you at Jay Williams?
Maybe. Hey.
Come on,
JJ. Where you at, Jason Tatum?
He's on his way. Jason Tatum's well on his way.
Yeah, he's going to be a really great trade piece that might make an all-star game.
Jason Tatum's good.
Yeah, Jason Tatum's good.
Brandon Ingram's not going to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, the better trade is definitely whatever the Celtics can offer. But let's wrap up here with our other softball, track and field, gymnastics, and tennis, who are all either starting their season or continuing this weekend. Softball is going to the Marucci Classic at UNLV, where they'll play a bunch of games. I wrote a big preview about the softball team. Brand new head coach. It's been a really interesting how Debbie Corum has just brought in like a whole new set of blood, man. And every sport is experiencing coaching change, except for the ones that are doing well, like, you know, basketball and football. She says it says she'll never make a coaching decision because of performance.
Define well.
Better than we have been, man.
Sure.
We're on the up and up. So they begin their season this weekend. They had their worst season ever last season in program history. So Courtney Hall seems like she's really passionate about it. So I think the team will kind of begin their ascension as well. We're in a really interesting time. I think 5 years from now, we're going to be one of the...
Yeah.
We're going to be like Montana of the Big Sky, you know, like one of the more competitive teams. And we're first steps right now.
Yeah, and they should be good. They did lose one player to Dixie State.
Sarah Murphy graduated.
Michaela Thompson transferred. I'm not sure what she did last year.
I know that their best pitcher, not pitcher, one of their best players, Taylor Williams, transferred to BYU.
Okay.
And then their best player, who's was the All Big Sky, the best freshman of the Big Sky last season is back, Watkins.
Well, hopefully the Weavers can do something. They were standouts at
Dream Weaver
Cedar High. So
the best name in Cedar City softball history, Dream Weaver.
Fun fact: so I used to work for her dad, and
there's the Pizza Factory family.
Yeah. So apparently, I found her on Mutual one day. And apparently her name's not Dream on there because it thinks that she's lying about her name. So
she has to lie about her name.
Yeah. So fun fact.
And did you match?
I was about to ask.
What people really want to know.
I'm going to save this for the Sugar and Spice podcast.
It's ballsy to try to match with your boss's daughter. That's
again, I don't work there now. So I
wonder why.
No comment.
Man, we need to come up with like the UJ Podcast Network. Well, to hear about that, you'll have to go to Sugar and Spice on the UJ Podcast.
Click here.
All right. Well, so track and field also on the road this weekend. I don't know exactly what the situation is, but I think they're going to the Kirby Invitational.
They're always on the road for something because SUU during the winter, just especially right now, it's not the best. Yeah. So Coach Hools told me he just tries to find places that are indoor and go from there.
I think they're going to be in Washington too, so good luck to them. Gymnastics takes on, I think, number 23 ranked Iowa State at Iowa State this weekend. I think it's tomorrow, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how they do. Best of luck to them. And then tennis has a couple of matches this weekend. I think both men's and women's. So
should be good.
That is our SCU sports recap. Anything else you guys want to tack on to the end here? Any other strange tangents? Should we just keep refreshing Twitter until something else happens?
Well, Woj hasn't.
We got 10 minutes until the trade deadline.
We got 10 minutes. Jazz now got to start making that push for Drew Holiday.
Please. Give me Rubio favors. I don't know, Exum and a first rounder for Drew Holiday. Count me in.
Anything you get from Mike Conley, you got to offer up for Drew Holiday now.
Oh my gosh. If they're trading Mirotic, that means that they're burning this season, right?
Right. That means they're committing to Jahlil Okafor as their franchise center. It's going to be a while before they're good again.
I'm talking about Duke bus, bro.
Where my guy John.
Hey, here's the thing. At least I'm like a rational Duke fan. I know he's fool's gold, right? He's not really that good, even though he's putting up good numbers.
Let's see. What do you think that Cam Reddish is going to be in the NBA?
I don't think he'll be anything special.
Okay, yeah, you are
RJ?
A rational Duke fan.
Huh?
RJ?
I think RJ Barrett's going to be good, but he's not going to be like amazing, right? He's going to be better than Ingram, not as good as Tatum.
I was going to say he's going to be just like Jason Tatum.
That'd be sweet if he were
putting up sweet 18-point games, and maybe he'll dunk on LeBron once, and everybody will freak out, and that's it.
I'd freak out. Taunt him, and then lose in 7 games.
Dude, I'll never forget going to the summer league to go see Jason Tatum Celtics came to Utah and played
the blowing in kisses from the sideline.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, something. Jason Tatum just destroying the first game, and then they come and play Utah. And Donovan Mitchell just lit him up and kept crossing him over. And I was like,
put him on his backside.
It's one of those like weird summer league things where like Donald Harvey would come out and have like a 40-20 game. And it's like, okay, you're still not making the league.
Fun year, though.
Yeah.
Fun year.
For sure. Well, all right, guys. Thanks for listening. Make sure you're here tonight for the Weber State basketball game. Assuming this goes up beforehand. Big Thunder will be there, painted. I think we're going cat costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has it all picked out, and a couple of other students are joining.
I mean, is there ever a costume he does that isn't sexy? A sexy Viking.
Well, yeah, it kind of goes like without saying. When you get Big Thunder, you're going to get sexy.
Big sexy.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you next week.
Peace out.